on this series that's going to be and following. It's called The Bible. It's going to be followed at night times as well. I'll mention more about that in a moment. But the first part of this five-part series that culminates, as Sarah said here, on Easter Sunday morning, is called The Journey from Death to Life. I really believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us to really think about eternal things. There are so many things happening in the world around us that keeps our five senses occupied. All of our senses are totally being bombarded by the things of the media, by our families, by our workplace, by our community, by our culture, by media as well around us. And so God is wanting us to focus on what is the main thing. And the main thing is you have a spirit living inside of you that shall live forevermore, either in heaven with God in His presence or away from God's presence, the Bible says, with the devil and his angels. I choose God over the devil. Amen. I don't want to be around the devil and his angels for all eternity. I want to be around God, his children, his people, the angels of God as well, because God's a creative God. God's a God who loves us. God's a God of relationships. And God wants that journey to start not just in heaven, but right here on the earth. God's a God of relationships for the here and now. Amen? If you want to take and fascinate a child with a story, one of the best ways I found to fascinate a child is include the child in that story. Over 110 years ago, a man did this. This guy's a playwright. This man's a novelist. This man has done many films, very creative man. One day he bought his son a little bear, little stuffed bear. He was telling him his bedtime stories. I'm kind of guessing right after changing his diaper, perhaps, because that little bear became a story, and the little boy's name became Christopher Robin in that story, and the bear became named Winnie the Pooh. All little animals inside that room also became Tigger and Eeyore and all the little things you see in the whole Winnie the Pooh series were all the toys of this young boy. And this author's name was A.A. Milne, the author, creator, distributor of all the Winnie of the Pooh cartoon extravaganza throughout the ages. This cartoon has been actually translated now in over 50 languages throughout the earth. It's been seen in plays, movies, television, screens, it's in Walt Disney World, it's in toy shops across the entire earth right now because Winnie the Pooh was a thing that somehow was breathed on and the masses took hold of that. The fact is today, the story this man gives us also relates to each one of us in our seats today also have our own stories. They might be different, but we all have the stories of life we can tell to people in this congregation today. The bigger picture is also God's got a story to tell us that's found in the book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. A story unfolds about the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ the Lord. Do you realize that all the books of the Bible before the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, is called Matthew. All the books before that in the Old Testament all point toward one thing, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. All the books of the New Testament now point back to one thing, and that is the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ. What Christ will do for us, what Christ has done for us, is all the main focus of the entire Bible you and I have today. Praise God for that. The Bible also says when Jesus Christ comes back for His own, His sign will appear in the heavens, and all men will then know He is King of kings, He is Lord of lords, He really is risen, He is the true Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. And those who know Jesus Christ will be with Him in the air and forevermore, changed and glorified by His very presence and likeness. We can all rejoice every single day that we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Amen? These stories in the Bible, these messages here will occupy our attention these next five Sunday morning messages here. We're going to see things now leading up to Easter Sunday, March the 31st, the last day of this month. We'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ together in dramatic sense. We'll be having props on the platform that will increase every single week. And so we'll be watching those as well. Today is going to be, of course, about this young man whose name is Isaac. There's three things we're going to take and we're going to do in this series, trying to accomplish here. We're going to be tracking, of course, first of all, with the series that's on tonight on the History Channel, starting at 7 o'clock tonight. Those who get the History Channel can watch this first of the series. I think each one of these is about 2 hours long. If you can't watch tonight because of your own preoccupation with something else, try to record these series and watch them at a later time and try to track with us on every single Sunday morning message. Right now, also, they're spending millions of dollars getting the word out across our entire country for all the people that see commercials on TV. The Bible is being broadcast. It's going to be on TV. It's being shown to all the unbelievers all across our entire nation as well. Let's be praying that unbelievers will see those movies, those series there, and God will prick their hearts. The Holy Spirit will draw them to Jesus Christ, and we'll see tens of thousands come to Jesus this month of March in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you be God's mouthpiece, and will you be bold this month to share your faith testimony with somebody else around you and invite them to come to a church service even like this? We're going to believe God to do some great, dramatic, life-changing things in these services these next 5 weeks. We're going to also be sharing video clips every Sunday to help you visualize and experience the story of that Sunday morning's message. So again, the three things we're trying to see accomplished here this month of March is, number one, you're going to see stories from the Bible in ways you've never seen them before. This first series, I saw this first clip here and heard this first outline of today's message here. I was even impressed myself to start seeing some new things about the story of Abraham and Isaac I'd not really seen or thought about before. Number two, we're going to try to gain a better appreciation for God's redemptive plan for mankind through Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And then number three, we're going to experience greater insight into God's love for you and me by the series being shown here in these presentations. These stories we're going to share during the series here are more than just stories. They're actually illustrations, revelation about what God has done for us in His redemptive work to buy us out of darkness and bring us into His marvelous light. This first story today now is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. So go ahead and turn there if you would. Genesis 22. It's sometimes called the binding of Isaac. We're going to now look at this first video clip here about the binding of Isaac. Go ahead and play that if you would now. And we'll just watch this now for the next few minutes, this first clip today. It'll be shown also in greater duration tonight. All right, that's very, very touching. And that's a story here about, again, Abraham and his son Isaac, and how God, again, spared his own son by the ram that was caught in the thicket behind him here. Okay, so we're talking here now about a story now about great faith and great obedience. This morning's twist is going to be, we're not going to talk about the faith and obedience of Abraham. We've heard many, many messages on that. We're going to focus more this morning here upon the son Isaac, upon the faith, the obedience, and what he went through himself, perhaps, at the hands of his own father, almost being sacrificed, almost laying down his life, giving himself as a sacrifice for perhaps even sin in this era. We're going to do this today because this is not just Isaac's story. It's actually the story of every one of us sitting in our seats here today. A story that's about what Jesus Christ has done for you and I, that because He died on the cross, because He paid for our sins, we don't need to be bound up and pay for our sins, even as we saw Isaac receive the sacrificial lamb that spared his life. If you're writing anything down this morning at all, I'm going to give you 3 points today, 3 things to think about, because there's 3 ways I see in the story of Isaac that his story is my story. The first thing I see here, number one, is my life is an uncertain journey. Let's all say that together. My life is an uncertain journey. Let's look here now at Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. It says here, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offerings, and he rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the 3rd day, Abraham lifts up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder, we will worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the 2 of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the 2 of them went together. We are like Isaac in many ways in that we have no choosing about many things of our lives. You could not choose the family you were born into. You could not choose a city you also were raised in, the house you were born into. All these things were not in your power, in your control. They were not things of your own choosing. Some of us here, most of us here, perhaps had good parents, loving parents, kind parents, nurturing parents, parents who met our needs in many, many ways growing up. Some here, not so much, perhaps. You might have had abusive parents, parents that were very neglectful, parents that hurt you more than helped you, it seems like. But the fact is, there's many things that take place in life that shows us life is uncertain, and life can throw some curveballs to us. Here we see now in this film, this clip, Isaac as a young man. Bible historians tell us Isaac may have been 18 years old as opposed to 8 years old. You can see here on the screen. But nonetheless, he was a young man, a man loved by his mother, loved by his father, loved very, very dearly by them, about to be sacrificed, it seems like, for a sacrificial offering to the Lord in obedience to God's word. The Bible also says they were sacrificed, or the sacrifice took place on a place called Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is actually a 3 days walking journey, 50 miles from where Sarah was at. I'm not sure how Sarah got there that fast in the film, but it was a 50-mile walk for about 3 days. These are all prophetic things about how Jesus Christ himself spent 3 days in the heart of the earth. And then there's a place called Mount Moriah is where the sacrifice was about to be taking place in this story in the Bible. For the purpose of the journey, we don't know what went through his head. We see this young man in the film was crying, he was panicking and so forth. We're not really sure in details of the Bible, just what Isaac was thinking about himself, what he was going through. The main thing was he followed his father in obedience to his will, even at the risk of his own life perhaps in this story. That's true of your life, it's true of mine also, that life is a very, very uncertain thing. The fact also is, since the fall of mankind upon the earth back in the Garden of Eden, whenever God said, don't take and eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when man disobeyed God over 6,000 years ago now, the Bible says, on that day you shall surely die, is what God spoke to Adam. We all know that Adam did not die that day physically, but his spirit man died, and the Bible says for the first time, thorns sprung up, and all of a sudden the fall of man took place, not just to infect Adam and Eve, but also all of nature was affected in a negative way by the fall of mankind over 6,000 years ago. You might have seen that commercial sometime in the recent present that shows a procedure that's called a knee replacement surgery. And they show there an elliptical knee, the old way of doing that, and they show an elliptical bowling ball, elliptical, I think, bicycle wheel, and also the wheel of a car, the egg-shaped shape of a car. And all three of these things, the bowling ball does not bowl right or roll right, hard to get strikes. The bicycle's going up and down, not very comfortable to ride like that. And the car also is bouncing up and down, an elliptical type thing, because it's not the round shape it should be for proper function upon the earth. Well, the same thing is also true of our own planet. We've seen things go very, very sideways the past 6,000 years because of the fall of man upon the earth. We live in a planet right now that's tilted on its axis. It's in an elliptical orbit around the earth. We've now got four seasons, some very hot days, very cold days. We have some wind. We have some tornadoes. We have a planet also that's been cracked like an egg. There's tectonic plates all over this planet that can bring forth earthquakes any given day upon the face of the earth, someplace, somehow, somewhere. We live in a fallen place, a fallen planet. We live in an atmosphere right now where there's viruses, and there's allergies, and there's pollens, and there's diseases floating all around us every day, all throughout the earth. And the fact is, God did not make this planet like this. The sad fact also is, look at all of the animal kingdom, the insects, the fish, the birds, and the animals of the planet. Half of them, at least, would try to eat you if they had the opportunity to do that. Amen? You lay still fast enough or long enough, even the ants will eat your body. We live in a very, very hostile planet with hostile people also living on this planet. Over 6 billion humans share the planet with you, and they do unpredictable things, uncertain things every single day on the face of the earth. Who'd have thought about all the mass killings, the mass murders, the wars, rumors of wars, things that man does to children, to their own wives, to the weaker vessels? Who'd have think that man could do things like this? We live in a very, very uncertain time, uncertain season, uncertain age until Jesus Christ comes back. Beyond that also, who would have thought here today that years ago 9-1-1 would take place? You'd wake up one day at uncertain times and see that 3,000 Americans have now lost their lives. The collapse of the World Trade Center is being attacked by terrorists. Who would have thought that Katrina would take and break the levees of New Orleans a few years ago, flood that city and cause such chaos and such damage in only a short amount of time? Who would have thought the Japanese tsunami would take and hit the coast of Japan and bring forth mass destruction on that place only also a couple of years ago? Who would have thought a meteorite only a few days ago would explode over Russia, a million-member city, explode there, injuring over 1,000 people with flying glass and debris? Every single day we wake up, new things can take place on this planet. We live in uncertain times, uncertain ages. Amen? On a personal, individual level also, you might have woken up someday, folks in this congregation might have woken up someday, one day, and said, this is the day my father died. This is the day the car crash took place that changed my life. This is the day the cancerous tumor was found in my body. This is the day my boss called me in and handed me a pink slip. Every day is uncertain for every individual on the face of the earth. The good news is, though, God knows about uncertain times, and He's a certain God. He's an anchor in times of uncertainty. We need the Lord God in our lives. Amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 14, the last half of that verse goes on and says, no man knows what is to be, and no man can tell him what will be after him. Even righteous, godly people face sometimes circumstances and surprises that totally catch them off guard. We live in uncertain times, uncertain planet, uncertain ages, uncertain lives all around us every day. One thing, though, is for certain. You're living in an age of uncertainty. The Bible encourages us to plan for the future, but also says no man knows what a day may bring forth. Your life, like my life, is an uncertain journey. And there's one way in which Jesus Christ's story is my story. It's yours also. There's also another way, a second way, this story also about Isaac is also your story and my story as well. Number two today is, my death appears to be certain. Let's all say it together, please. My death appears to be certain. Not imminent, amen, but certain. How many folks know that life is 100% terminal? Let's read now. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, talks about this. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Whether again this young man was 8 years old or 18 years old, the fact is it was a terrifying moment in Isaac's life. I can believe that. So can you as well. We don't know the details again about how binding Isaac really went. If Isaac struggled and tried to get away and was screaming and crying and yelling in hysterics, or we don't know if he just in quiet obedience and submission just kind of laid back there and trusted his father so much. He said, Father, whatever you want to do, not my will, but your will be done. I kind of picture the latter thing in that instance. I believe that Isaac was so close to his own father and saw his own father's walk with God so strongly. He probably did not fight, did not scream out, did not yell out and try to escape there. I think he trusted in the God of his own father to do the right thing every single day of his life. The fact is, he was bound, he was terrified. It was not a pleasant moment, not a good day to be alive. Amen? We don't know for sure, but it seems at some point Isaac knew that death was near. You ever heard of a person in your life who had what's called a near-death experience and saw their life flash before their eyes? You ever heard of that? Their life flashed before their eyes? That took place one time in my life. When I was 8 years old, I was in a massive pool in Wichita, Kansas, coming off fresh off the farm, did not know how to swim. I was on a little floaty device with about 5 people in water over my head. These guys, like kids will do, jumped off the floating device. It flipped sideways. My foot was caught on the floating device, and I found myself underwater with my foot caught on top of the floating device, and I could not get air. I could not get up, and finally, my foot was free, but by that time, I was thrashing, trying to swim. I was just going through total hysterics. And by the grace of God, my own sister, a year older than I was, couldn't swim also, got close to me. I grabbed her by the hair, yanked her underwater also. And now she's thrashing, she's panicking, she's terrorized, and we're both down there underwater about to drown together. And in my own brain, all of a sudden, there came a total picture very fast of my entire 8 years of life on the earth. I was amazed to see that. It's like a movie going very quickly. I saw my entire life flash before my eyes. I was about to open my mouth up and receive water into my lungs at that moment. And then by the great grace of God, my sister broke the surface of the water with her own head. She gets up out of the water for one split second in a very crowded pool, and she yells, "Help." And the farm girl that was near us from Missouri, who was about 13 years old, and water was not over her head, she was exactly looking at the exact right place at the exact right time to see my sister yell for help. And she walks over, she swims over, grabs us both, yanks us out of the water, like a typical strong farm girl she was, says, "What is wrong with you? Quit your whining and crying. But you just kind of sit down there and just behave yourselves." Goodness gracious. I mean, that's a good, strong farm girl from northern Missouri. Amen. I didn't care there. I just cared. I was out of the water. I was not dead. I was alive. But my life flashed before my eyes on a near-death experience. Amen. Only one other time I can say I had a near-death experience. That was when I licked Sarah's birthday cake and Cheryl caught me. Okay, that was one other time I kind of saw my life flash from my eyes. I'm a little more sneaky nowadays, amen? how many folks like chocolate icing? Okay, so moving on here. Moving along. Some of you guys have had such a moment yourselves in your life as well. The Bible tells us, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Sin came into the world because of what one man did 6,000 years ago, named Adam." Because sin means death, death came through sin. This is why everybody must die, because everybody has sinned in their lives. There's a scene in the Bible miniseries, you're going to see it as you watch it on TV, perhaps tonight or in the future, that shows Moses explaining the final plague of the people of Israel, when the death angel comes over, and he says here in this clip in the movie, he says, "Death is coming for us all. And the fact is, all of us again will taste of death unless Jesus Christ comes back and raptures us out of here. We will all find this body, this shell, this tent we have right now, it will pass away. Your life is on a limited basis. It will not last forever." Amen? The truth is, it's coming for all of us sooner or later. This may seem like a downer in this part of the message today. For those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our physical death is not defeat. It actually is victory. The Bible says we're passed from death to life. It says this tent is discarded and put away. The new man, the real man inside of us, will rise again and be in God's presence forever and ever and evermore. Amen? Those of us that are believers have gone to funerals of our loved ones, perhaps, and you've seen the shell of their corpse in those open casket funerals. Every time we all say the same thing. "When I saw their body, I realized my father, my mother, my dad was not there. That was not them. That was a tent. That was a corpse. That was not them. The real person, I could tell, was not with us anymore." And praise God, God gives us comfort. We can be raised again because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. In this world of uncertainty, there's a few things that are certain, and that is that we're all getting older. The human condition is terminal, and the question is not if I die, but when I die. Because death is certain for every one of us on the earth. Happily, there is one more way that Isaac's story, though, talks to us. Number three this morning is called, "My salvation has been provided." Let's all say it together. My salvation has been provided. Let's read now. Genesis 22, starting in verse 11, what it says. "But the angel of the Lord," pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, capital A for angel, "but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, and he said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his own son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided.'" Can you imagine the relief that came over Abraham when God shows up at the last moment, the last second, and God provides for him? Not just for Abraham, but also for Isaac as well. I've seen again that it was really true when it says, God is never early, God is never late, God is always right on time. Amen? And so it may be the very, very last seconds of your midnight hour, but I'm saying again, God will show up, God will provide, God will be there in the timing and the season that God ordains for your situation in your life. The awfulness of sin is that it put a sentence of death upon every human born on the face of the earth. But the good news is that sentence can be reversed by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and for mine. Abraham was so grateful for the ram in the wilderness that he called the place, "The Lord will provide," which also means Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means provision that can be seen. You know, right now, God has been, in His mercy and grace, planted churches like Tree of Life Church, like Shoreline Christian Center, like Celebration, like First Baptist, like First United Methodist. All these places, God gives a visual picture. The Lord God will provide salvation for people, because I'm going to use people, I'm going to use my spirit to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us, how will they hear unless somebody is sent? How can they preach unless they actually are sent out by God? And how can they also hear God's message unless somebody goes out there and proclaims what God has spoken in His Word? Praise God that God gives us mouthpieces and people and churches and Bibles and literature to understand that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. And God's provided salvation for you and I by Jesus Christ Himself. He will provide. Do you realize also that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain on the very same exact spot that Jesus Christ died on the cross? The cross of Christ was in the same place Isaac was actually bound up to be actually killed himself by his father as a sacrifice, probably for sins. On the Mount of the Lord, on Mount Moriah, the Lord will provide a lamb, so the Bible tells us also as well. John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1:29, last part of that verse, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God provided a lamb, a spotless lamb, His Son Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. The Bible says because Adam sinned and His blood was passed into our bloodline throughout all generations, that means all generations became corrupt by the fall of Adam and Eve years and years and years ago. Who could be the sacrifice? Who could break the seal? Who could open the seal up of salvation? Well, God, in being just and God being righteous, said no sinful man can pay the price for man's sin upon the earth. It must be a sinless man who has no spot, no blemish, no sin in their life. Only that sacrifice can I receive in a just way for man's forgiveness and man's covering and man's release of his sin upon the earth. And Jesus Christ came down like Isaac. He was bound by mankind. He suffered at man's hands. He suffered the nails. He suffered the thorns. He suffered all the puncture wounds upon his body, the beatings, and so forth. And because he received those wounds upon his own body and paid the price, God saw that sacrifice. God saw that obedience. And God said, "You are a sinless man. God, man in the God in the flesh, made in mankind's image and mankind's likeness. You are a man. You are God. And I received the sacrifice of sin, born by my Son, Jesus Christ." And because he obeyed his Father, laid his life down willfully for you and I, we now can receive that sacrifice ourselves by receiving Jesus Christ in our lives to be our Lord and be our Savior. The Bible says Isaac was saved. But do you realize also the story of Isaac is also your story and my story as well? Because Jesus Christ laid his life down, the spotless lamb without blemish, we can be saved upon the earth. As James comes back to the platform now to help me out, please. I'm going to say again these three things today. I'm going to repeat these three things today about Isaac's story. Number one, your life is an uncertain journey. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know about what nation may do what in Israel, in Iraq, in Iran, in America. We don't know what will take place even tomorrow upon the face of the earth. We live in uncertain times, uncertain journey. Our own bodies are frail. People around us are unpredictable. Nature does wild things every single year. We don't know what the future holds upon this planet. Number two, your death is certain. No matter how long you live on the face of the earth, the Bible calls your life a vapor that's here for a day, for a moment, for a season, and then gone very fast. You might live to be 105 years old, but God calls 105 years only a blink. Only a little time as far as He is concerned in heaven. And God says again, redeem the time. We can't redeem the time unless we receive the Redeemer in our lives who redeems us from our sins. And the third thing is, your salvation has been provided. Let's all sit right now, if you would, just bow our head and close our eyes across the congregation just for privacy and be able to think, be able to focus on what God is saying to you individually. Because I believe there might be people here this morning who are going through what's called the valley of decision. You've been filled perhaps with philosophies and been filled with things that people around you about Christians and churches and believers and hypocrisy and things of that nature. And God is saying all those things that might be negative about the church, about believers, about even things you might think about God are not going to keep you from facing God face to face by yourself, one-on-one, and giving an account for your life. Because the Bible says all men will give an account for their lives in that day. And that day is the day you see God face to face. He tells us one of two things. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to ask you this morning, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, put yourself in Isaac's shoes one more time today. Can you picture him climbing down from that altar? Can you imagine that he actually or casually wiped his brow and said, wow, that was close? Or do you think that even like myself, he dropped to his knees in tearful gratitude and said, God provided salvation for me. God gave a lamb. His life was slain in my place. Do you think you might bow also in gratitude even today and petition today and say, I know I can't save myself. I need a lamb. I need a sacrifice for my sins. And the good news is that sacrifice was provided 2,000 years ago in a place called Mount Moriah. We call it Calvary. It's in Jerusalem. It's a place where Jesus Christ laid his life down willfully for you and I, that by his sacrifice, by his death, by his blood being shed for us, God received that spiritual transaction in the heavenly realm and said, now those who call upon the name of my son, Jesus Christ, and they say, I can't save myself by church attendance, by good works, by giving, by my own righteousness, I need a Savior. I'm going to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Confess, Father God, I need a Savior. I need forgiveness because all have sinned, which means I've fallen short of God's requirements upon the earth. All of us have sinned. The good news is sin can be erased, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask everybody here today, if you would, just if you're saved or not saved, Christian or non-Christian, please repeat these words after me together. As you repeat these words, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, think about what you're saying especially and mean what you say. Because this prayer is going to be a prayer to receive Christ in your life today. Let's pray this prayer together, if we would, all across the congregation today. Lord God, I want to do it one more time. Lord God, thank you for providing my salvation. Thank you for the spotless Lamb of God, who was given to take away the sins of the world. I confess that I am a sinner, like everybody else here. And I turn to you, and I accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as payment for all the wrongs I've done. I ask you to come into my heart. Take charge of my life from this moment on. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, one moment longer, I'm going to ask today, who in this congregation might have prayed that prayer for the first time in your life? Would you raise your hand right now, just not to embarrass you, but to see who might have done that for the first time? Who might have prayed that prayer today for the first time? I see back here, over here. God bless you, two young men over here, young lady. Somebody else prayed that prayer for the first time in your life. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand to our feet now. Let's just give God a clap of praise and thanksgiving. These three that raised their hand to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm going to have Shannon and Jack Adams come to the front now, if you would, please. Because what you got three have done, and maybe beyond that, might have been even more than this, they prayed this prayer for the very first time. You made the most important decision in your life. You live in an uncertain world, but the certain thing is your sins can be forgiven. They can be erased And you can be a child of God if you call upon His name as you've done this day. I'm going to ask those three folks to raise their hand. We're going to make one more bold step this morning. Make your way out of your seats. Come to the front right now if you would, please. I want you to stand here with Jack and stand here with Shannon here. We're going to wait upon you to do that. Just go ahead and come to the front. If you raise your hand up, just come to the front even now. God bless you folks for being bold, being courageous. And over here might have been somebody as well I might have missed. Just go ahead and come to the front. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, find Jack, find Shannon here at the front. If you would, please stand with them. Two others were here. If you could be bold and come out to the front. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Lord. If you two others that are here find this whole thing a little bit intimidating, please, if you can, slip out as you dismiss this congregation a moment and still go to Jack or go to Shannon at the end of this service. Say, I'm one of those that raised their hand up. I just want to be with to talk with you as well, okay? Because they have some materials for you, some things about the beginnings of Christianity, some things that will be helpful for you to read and look at. They want to be able to spend some time talking to you, just a little bit of time. Your friends are here, will wait for you. They'll wait for you, and they'll have no problem doing that. You guys can eat 5 minutes later, amen, and they'll do that. Amen. Well, I'm going to say today, God bless you. Young lady, young man, go ahead and find these folks here. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to Christ, more than 99 that don't need to repent. So all of heaven right now rejoices, not just here, but I believe right across this nation. People are coming to Christ by the thousands. Because I sense this is a month of harvest and a month of salvation and a month of evangelism that God's placed upon the people of God's heart. If you can tonight, watch this program on History Channel at 7 o'clock, whatever that channel may be. And if you can't get that channel yourself, try to find someone who has that can record it, whatever else, or go to their house. You're invited to their house by me. And just watch it together, amen, and that'll be a blessing. All right.